Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Monday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today as we continue previewing ACC teams here on Send It In. We're going to start with the Clemson Tigers. A lot of big expectations for Clemson this year. Big favorites to win the ACC. We're going to talk with Larry Williams here in a moment, get his thoughts on the Tigers for the upcoming season. Also going to continue our NFL previews. It's fitting that we talk Clemson on the show today. We'll talk a little Jacksonville Jaguars as well with Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, and company. So we'll look at the Jags for the upcoming season. And then we'll talk some baseball later on in the show. We'll get into some of the games that we have on the slate today, and I'll give out my top 10 teams in Major League Baseball now that we are a couple days removed from the trade deadline. We'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'll get to all your questions that you have over the next 30 minutes. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show today, we will have it covered for you. The Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glass for Guest Line, check in with Larry Williams, who joins us. Give Larry a follow on X at Larry Williams TI. Writes for TigersIllustrated.com and hosts of the Clemson Dub podcast as well. Larry, appreciate you joining us, man. And as you know, big expectations for Clemson this season. A lot of hype around that program. A lot of returning production, including their quarterback, Cade Klubnik. On paper, do you think this is the most talented team that Dabo has had since those 2018, 2019 Trevor Lawrence teams? Do you think that this team is maybe the best one that he's had since then?
Oh, I think for sure. And I would think you'd have to include the 20 team as well, mm-hmm. even though they didn't win the national championship or even go to the national championship. They did win the ACC. Trevor Lawrence, still there, of course, Travis Etienne. So they went to the semifinal against Ohio State and got drubbed in that game. But still, the point is they were still pretty loaded during that time. But yeah, absolutely. And they showed real glimpses of this late last season, and I think that's why they generated so much acclaim. The formula appears to be very similar to what won them so many championships and got them to so many playoffs from 15 to 20, and that is they are showing the capability of throwing and catching at an elite level, and then they have the defensive line that can really disrupt inside and out and create a lot of havoc and create a new line of scrimmage. And so, you know, that's been that second part there, the defensive line, that's really been the formula, a big part of the formula also for recent national title winners, Ohio State last year, Michigan the previous year, and then, of course, Georgia back-to-back. You know, you could make a strong argument that that's the common thread. And so are they as good as those teams in between 15 and 20? I don't know about that, but that was a different era, you know. And so as I look at this Clemson team, they've had so much retention. They have so much not just talent but experienced talent, and you compare that to some of the other teams out there in elite consideration. The transient nature of college football is obviously what is different now. And so I think when you compare this Clemson team to the other contenders out there, I think you can see sort of the path for them to, you know, contend for a national title and end up the last team standing. Of course, it's a tough road there. You need good bounces. You need to avoid injuries in the wrong places. And so I think it's hard to predict that. But I think just on paper, yes, this is a team that, that you could make the case for.
And their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, obviously, Larry, amongst the betting favorites to win the Heisman Trophy this year. He's been in that program for a while now. And the lasting impression that he gave us with that performance against Texas in Austin in the college football playoff, I think, has a ton of people excited for what this year could bring. What are you expecting out of Cade? What does he look like so far throughout the summer here? And do you think that he's really going to take off here in his senior season?
You know, I think there's some unfinished business for him. You know, as uplifting as that final performance was for him and for the offense at Texas, they still lost by a couple of touchdowns. You know, they still didn't advance to the next round, and there's a sour taste in their mouth also from the third to last game, and that would be losing at home to South Carolina. You know, Klubnik threw the ball all over the field in that game. But they ended up with 14 points because they couldn't close the deal in the red zone. You know, you had a turnover on downs. You had a funky turnover, a lost fumble. They didn't have much of a running game, though, toward the end of last season. Phil Maffo was playing basically with one arm. He had a separated shoulder he had been playing with for a long time. He couldn't pass block, let alone run the ball. And so as I look at this team right now, and I'm getting back to Klubnik here because I think that that's a big sort of connection, is that, you know, if you give this offensive – if this team can run the ball consistently, not great, but if they can be a threat running the ball, a regular threat, then that makes pass blocking a lot easier for the offensive line when you have that balance, and it makes things easier for Cade Klubnik to get the ball – to matchups out in space. And so that's where I look at where this offense can really take the next step. I do think Cade, again, going back to that sort of sour taste, like for all these good vibes surrounding him, you know, for a good portion of that Texas game, the offense really wasn't doing a whole lot. And he made some decisions that were kind of head scratching, some inaccurate throws against South Carolina, the game I already mentioned. You know, the game ended when he threw that. He had sort of a throwaway, throwing it at Maffa's feet. Ball bounces up. South Carolina picks the ball off to end the game when a chip shot field goal, would have sent the game into overtime. Not to belabor all this, but my point is, I think if you're in Cade Klubnik's shoes, I don't know if you're looking back, you know, admiring yourself. He remembers last year at this very time when the common question and sentiment was, man, should they have gone out and gotten a transfer? You know, because Cade's really not good enough. He remembers the cynics, and he also remembers the things that he really needs to clean up. You know, two losses in your last three games, and the you know, the offense was far from perfect in either of those games, even though they showed a lot of reason for optimism.
We're talking with Larry Williams here on Send It In, talking some Clemson Tigers. And Larry, I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the ball. I thought one of the most underrated hires of the offseason was Dabo bringing in Tom Allen to run the defense, comes over from Penn State, was the former head coach in Indiana. What have been the early impressions of Tom Allen? You talked about how much talent, especially on that D-line, that he's going to have to work with this year. What have been the early impressions with Tom Allen so far?
Rave reviews across the board, and the most important part, at least to me, is that one of the common things you hear is it's like he's another head coach out there. And if you think back to the Brent Venables era, that's what that felt like, right? When they were mostly dominant under him, replacing him with Wes Goodwin. Nothing against Wes here. He was an asset to this program for quite a while, and I'm sure he's an asset to Oklahoma's program right now in some ways. I mean, Brent Venables wanted to take him to Norman to begin with when Brent left after the 21 season. But the point is, that was one of the most outside-the-box hires you could ever conceive in any sport, not just college football, simply because Wes had zero experience running his own room. Zero experience, of course, running a defense. And I think that sort of materialized and showed up in the course of the last three seasons. He just lacked that figurehead type of presence. And I think that had negative repercussions in a number of ways, including, you know, when you're not experienced as a coordinator and you have guys under you who are much more experienced, and things aren't going really well, it tends to, you know, make things not as hunky-dory at times when you're struggling. Anyway, my point is, they needed a leader, like a strong, charismatic, forceful leader. I think that's what Dabo was looking for, and I think that's who he got in Tom Allen. He checks every single one of those particular boxes, plus plenty of others.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought that was a really good hire from Dabo. Looking at the schedule here, Larry, for Clemson for the upcoming season, I think it's pretty awesome that they kind of bookend their schedule. They start with LSU. They finish with South Carolina. When you look at those games, the home game against LSU, the road game at South Carolina, which one to you did you think is going to be more difficult when the schedule came out?
It's so hard to say just with this. And again, this era with so much change and so much fluidity. Like, you know, last year at this time, I don't think South Carolina was on most Clemson folks' radar. I mean, they're coming to Clemson in 24. Clemson had really smothered them and shut them down in 23. Nobody was really talking a whole lot about Linares Sellers. I'm just giving you an idea of how quickly things can change in terms of, you know, how you assess a team. And so, you know, with this LSU opener, I just think there's perception-wise, there is so much being placed on this game, mm-hmm. That you sort of you have to sort of remind yourself, and maybe they have to remind themselves that hey, there's a rest of the season to play after this, and even if you win the game, you know, you could still get upended at Georgia Tech a couple of games later. Which is more difficult? Man, that's a great question. I think going to Columbia is obviously a difficult challenge, but I think I'm going to go with I usually side with the more talented team, and I believe LSU is that. You know, South Carolina, their defense last year was they had some dudes at all three levels, and they have to replace just about all of them, except for, you know, Dylan Stewart, of course, but I just think it's hard to replace that many high-impact players at defensive line, at linebacker, and also on the back end. But that said, Linares Sellers showed last year in Death Valley that he can take over an entire game and put a team on his shoulders.
Sure could. He's a handful. Larry, about 25, 30 seconds left. What was your prediction for Clemson this season, their record in the regular season? And ultimately, what do you think this team ends up doing? Do you think they win the national title, fall short in the semifinals? What's your prediction, 30 seconds, for Clemson?
Gosh, I hate predictions. So I haven't come up with mine yet for our website. We usually do that a couple of weeks from now. I'll say this. Again, it's so hard to predict a national title. I'll say this. I think the standard sort of by which you can say, okay, this team's a success or not, I think get to the playoff, get to the Final Four. I think if you do that, it's a successful season. I know that's kind of riding the fence relating to what the question you asked, but I'm just not a big fan of predictions, I'm generally not very good at them. So,
totally fair. No worries. Well, we appreciate the insight, Larry, and the time. Give Larry a follow on X at Larry Williams TI. Writes for TigersIllustrated.com and hosts of the Clemson Dub podcast as well. Larry, enjoy the season, man. Hope to catch up with you again soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank y'all.
Yep. All right. Great stuff there from Larry Williams. We continue here on Send It In. We preview the Clemson Tigers, and there's a schedule right there on the screen. It's a tough one for Clemson, right? Those bookend SEC games. We obviously had Preston Guy on a couple weeks ago, and we were previewing LSU. We know what a monster game that is for them. They've lost five straight season openers. They open at Clemson. It's a big game for the Tigers, who have struggled against SEC teams. They lost to three SEC teams last year, so you know they'll want to amend that also. And then the revenge game at South Carolina as well. But even the ACC schedule, even though we know the ACC isn't as good as the SEC or the Big Ten, there are some tricky games. Georgia Tech's going to be good again. We're going to preview them at some point. They're on the road in Atlanta taking on them. SMU, who they played in the ACC title game last year, they return a lot of guys. They're going to face them at home. They got to play Florida State at home, and then at Louisville. Louisville beat them in Death Valley last year. They got to go on the road and take on the Cardinals as well. So it's a difficult schedule for Clemson for the upcoming season. When you're looking at the futures market for this team, because I think a lot of people are going to be intrigued with Clemson in the futures market. I think at this point, you've probably missed the boat on them to win the national championship. You could have gotten some really good numbers on Clemson. I think there were some 18-1s out there, 15-1s. Now they're all the way down to 9-1 to win the national championship. I still think, though, them to win the ACC at minus 110, I still think it's a really good bet. They're going to be favored in every game that they play in the ACC, and they're also going to be favored against whoever they play in the ACC title game. So the fact that you're getting Clemson at minus 110, and as long as they make it to the ACC title game, you're going to get good value on that bet. They're going to be favored. Any team they play on a neutral field, Miami, SMU, Louisville, whoever it is, Florida State, they're going to be favored in that game. So I think Clemson to win the ACC at minus 110 is a good bet. I also think Clemson to go undefeated in ACC play is a good bet as well at plus 220. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but again, they're going to be favored in every game that they play. The fact that they don't have to play Miami, who from a talent standpoint is probably the second most talented team in the ACC, I certainly think that's an advantage. The fact that SMU, Florida State are up there amongst the more talented teams in the ACC, they get them at home. Getting that Georgia Tech game, Louisville game are going to be tricky, but I don't think plus 220 is a bad bet for Clemson to go undefeated in ACC play. And then how about also Clemson to get the number one overall seed in the college football playoff at plus 800? They get two SEC games, and then if they run the table or finish with one loss in the ACC, with the Big Ten, SEC cannibalizing each other, if Clemson's able to win one of those two SEC games, or even both of those SEC games, those are going to be some big-time non-conference games, some resume points that they have that I think could lead to them getting the number one seed. I think it's a good price at 8-1. So looking at the futures market, Clemson win ACC minus 110, Clemson go undefeated in ACC at plus 220, and then them to get the number one overall seed at plus 800. I like that as well. The other reason I don't really like Clemson to win the national championship this year is Cade Klubnik. And it's not that I think he's a terrible quarterback. He's just not an elite quarterback. And when Dabo's teams have won the national title, they've had awesome teams, like this one should be. This should be an awesome Clemson team. The problem is they've had difference makers at quarterback. They've had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Those are the quarterbacks that Dabo has won a national championship with. Those are the two of the best college quarterbacks we've seen in the last 10, 15 years. Cade Klubnik is a nice player. He's probably going to be one of the better quarterbacks in college this year. He's not a difference maker. Again, he lost all three of his games to SEC teams last year. So if Clemson had a difference maker at quarterback, if they had a top-end guy, a guy that we would look back on and be like, he's one of the better quarterbacks of the last 10 years, then I would be in on Clemson. But at the end of the day, Dabo really relies on his quarterback to do a lot for his team, and I just don't think Cade Klubnik is going to be that guy enough times in all those big games to get them through the finish line. So they're going to be loaded, both sides of the ball, terrific defense, good wide receiving core, offensive line's good. They returned 17 starters, and Klubnik's a senior. He started 3 years there. Not a difference maker, though. Dabo can't win national titles unless he has terrific quarterbacks, so going to pass on Clemson this year to win the national title. Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, let's talk about his NFL team and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the talk of the offseason a little bit, right? In the AFC, with what they've done in the offseason, obviously trading up to get Travis Hunter. They have the new head coach now in Liam Cohn. They have a new GM in James Gladstone as well. The Jags are a puzzling one for me. You know, we preview all these teams in the NFL. Some of these teams I have a really strong opinion on. Some of these other teams, I really don't want to bet them in the futures market. The Jags, I think you can go a lot of different ways with them. For me, I think Jacksonville is the Chicago Bears of the AFC, right? First-year head coach with the Jags and Liam Cohen, just like Chicago does with Ben Johnson. A quarterback who a lot of people are expecting big things from, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence. And then in the offseason, the Jags did a lot to help Trevor Lawrence. They went out, got some new pieces on the offensive line, obviously got him a new weapon in Travis Hunter. They should have a nice 2-1-2 punch at running backs. The same thing that Chicago did going out, revamping the O-line, bringing in Luther Burden as well. And just like the Bears, when we were talking about them earlier, where I think there's a lot of boom or bust with Chicago, where that's a team that I think has the potential to win 10, 11 games this year and win the division, or that can be a team that wins 5, 6 games again, I kind of feel the same way with Jacksonville. I think there is a case this year. There's a scenario where the Jags win 10 or 11 games and win the division. I also think there's a scenario where they're a mess again and they win only 5 to 6 games. So when it comes to the Jags, I would take swings on them. We had Nick Kenyon on last week. He likes them to win the division. I think at the price, plus 310, I think that is a good buy. You could probably eliminate the Colts or the Titans out of there if you wanted. I still like the Texans in the division, but I think the boom or bust potential of the Jags, I think is worth it at plus 310. Their win totals at 7.5. I wouldn't bet that. Them to make the playoffs is plus 185. I wouldn't bet that as well. I would just take the big swing on them to win the AFC South at plus 310. I still have question marks about this defense, but Liam Cohen did a heck of a job with Baker and the Bucks last year. He might be the real deal. I'm still not sold on Trevor as an NFL quarterback, but he's got one of the best young receivers in the NFL in Brian Thomas, and he's got a freakazoid as well in Travis Hunter. So there are really no excuses for him not to play well, put up some points, put up some numbers this season. I think the Jags have a chance to have a really good year. Another concern of mine for Jacksonville, Sean, if you could put up the schedule real quick for the Jags. We know that they play in London, right, every single year. So obviously they got to deal with all that travel. But because they play the NFC West and the AFC West, they're going to have a ton of cross-country road trips, right? You're up there in northern Florida, you got to go to Denver, you got to go to Arizona, you got to travel to Las Vegas, and they have to go to San Francisco as well. So there's going to be overseas trips, there's going to be trips across the country. All that travel when you're going back and forth from Florida to the mountain time zone, to the Pacific time zone, that might take its toll, especially on a younger team at some of these positions. That could be something to watch out for. But I think there's a lot of boom potential. There's a lot of potential with this Jags team. Plus 310 to win the division, I don't think is a bad bet at all. All right, let's talk a little baseball here on Send It In. Got some games on the slate today. We'll start with the Astros and the Marlins. Miami a minus 130 favorite today. Sandy Alcantara did not get dealt at the deadline. He's starting today for the Marlins going up against the Astros, who are still banged up at plus 110. Marlins are on fire right now. One of the hottest teams in baseball. Just swept the Yankees. And now they take on Houston. And I think everybody's buying into the Marlins. I'm worried about a little bit of a letdown for the Marlins tonight. So I like the Astros at plus 110. Twins and Tigers, Shane Woods Richardson against Casey Mize. Tigers are minus 185 on the money line. They were minus 160 this morning. I think we've kind of missed the boat on Detroit. You could have gotten them at a way better price. Don't want to bet them at minus 185, so that's a pass for me. Giants and Pirates tonight. You got Justin Verlander on the mound, who's 1-8 with a 4.53 ERA. And then you got Johan Oviedo, who's starting tonight for Pittsburgh, who hasn't thrown yet this season. I like the over 8 in Pirates and Giants. Orioles and Phillies tonight. Cade Povich on the mound for the O's going up against Jesus Luzardo. Povich is a disaster. He missed some time with injury for the Orioles. Now he's going up against these Phillies lineup. I look at the Phillies in the first 5 on the run line, -0.5 at minus 130. Guardians and Mets tonight at Citi Field. Slade Ciccone going up against Sean Manaea. Going to pass on that game. Royals and Red Sox. Bailey Falter comes over from Pittsburgh, making his start with Kansas City tonight. Brian Bello's been terrific for the Red Sox. Bailey Falter, left-handed pitcher. Red Sox second in all of baseball in OPS against lefties this year. And Bello's been really good. Had a great month in July. I like the Red Sox tonight on the run line, -1.5 at plus 125. Brewers and Braves tonight in Atlanta. Quinn Priester, we've been talking about him a lot on the show. Milwaukee's won 11 straight games in which Quinn Priester has started. We're taking the Brewers on the money line tonight at minus 145. Reds and Cubs in Wrigley. Big series for both of these teams. Nick Lodolo against Mike Soroka, who the Cubs just picked up in a trade from the Nationals. Our guy Nick Lodolo's on the mound, and he's starting on the road. And when Nick Lodolo is on the road, that is when we like back in Cincinnati. Give me the Reds Reds at plus 115. Yankees and Rangers tonight in Texas. A couple of left-handers starting with Max Fried and Patrick Corbin. Yankees a minus 140 favorite. Texas is plus 118. Yankees, I talked about Boston having the second OPS in all of baseball against lefties. Yankees have the first. Obviously, Judge is out, so you have to account for that. But still a team that hits lefties very well. They got their ace on the mound in Max Fried. Give me the Yankees at minus 140. Blue Jays and Rockies tonight in Denver. Blue Jays are -2.5 on the run line. Going to pass on that. Rays and Angels tonight in L.A. The Rays are going up against lefty Yusei Kikuchi. They do not hit lefties well. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Give me Kikuchi and the Angels at minus 125. Padres made some noise at the deadline, and one of their guys who they picked up, J.P. Sears, on the bump tonight against the D-backs. I'll take San Diego at minus 125. And then Cardinals-Dodgers tonight in L.A., Dodgers minus 190. Sonny Gray, Tyler Glasnow, good pitching matchup in a pitcher's park. We'll take the under in Dodgers and Cardinals. All right, real quick, we have a futures question from Jim Lucas. NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, should we just bet Abdul Carter at plus 250. I mean, the kid is a freak, Jim. There's no doubt about that. That Giants defensive line is going to be really, really good. My concern for the Giants is how often they're probably going to be trailing this season. And for a pass rusher like Abdul Carter to win the award, he obviously has to rack up the sacks. He has to wrap up the tackles for loss. And if the Giants are just consistently trailing in games, the other team's probably going to be running a decent amount. Now, Carter's a great player, and he's going to get his stats. But that's my only concern with the Giants is that their offense is going to put them in such bad situations. Russ, Jameis, Dart, whoever it is, are going to have turnovers. They're not going to score many points. Going to put a lot of pressure on that defense. I worry about them wearing down later in the season, not having enough opportunities to rush the passer because they're going to be trailing. So I would like Carter, but maybe at a better price. I don't know if plus 250, I want to take a stab at him. We got to talk about Defensive Rookie of the Year at some point here on Sending It, which we will get to before the season starts. But real quick, let's talk a little bit more baseball. We get to our best bets for the day. With the trade deadline over, thought it'd be a good time to look into our glass ball. Top 10 teams in Major League Baseball right now with World Series futures. So my number one team in baseball still, Los Angeles Dodgers. They're the big favorites at plus 250 to win it all. My number two team in baseball right now is going to be the San Diego Padres, who are 17-1 to win the World Series. What a deadline San Diego had. Getting starting pitching, bullpen arms, everyday bats in their lineup. They're loaded. They have no weaknesses on their team, and we know they are not afraid of LA. Padres, my number two team in baseball. Brewers are number three. They're 15-1 to win the World Series. Elite pitching staff. Offense gets the job done. Didn't make enough moves at the deadline as you would maybe like them to see, but man, they are rolling right now. Got a good thing going. I just don't think maybe they wanted to mess with a whole lot. Brewers are number three. Phillies will put them at number four. They are plus 850 to win the World Series. Philadelphia, terrific start in pitching. Ton of playoff experience and pedigree on that team in that lineup. And now they got Duran as their closer, who's looked awesome. His first couple starts for Philly will put them at four. Five is our first AL team. We'll go with the Detroit Tigers at 10-1. Tigers have been struggling here in the second half. Didn't really make a lot of moves at the deadline, but still the top team in the American League. Cubs are number six at 14-1. Good lineup, good 1-2 punch with Imanaga and Boyd. Worried about that bullpen, though, come October. Yankees at number seven, starting to get healthy. Obviously need the captain Aaron Judge back, but the Yankees will put them at seven. Blue Jays are going to be behind them at number eight. I know the Blue Jays are leading the American League East. I still think long-term, though, the Yankees are the better team. The Miami Marlins, you guys, I think are the number nine team right now in Major League Baseball. I love this Marlins team. I'm going to be buying all the Marlins stock next season. They got a lot of players on their team that probably not a lot of people have heard of, but Kyle Stowers is a rising star. They're playing with a ton of confidence. They just swept the Yankees over the weekend. Keep an eye on the Marlins. They're 1,000-1 right now to win the World Series. It's a long shot they get into the playoffs, but if they do, they're going to be super dangerous. Then I'll put the Mets in at number 10. Obviously, a lot of talent in that lineup. Worry about their pitching, though, come October as well. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Foreign in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. All right, you guys, real quick, let's go through our best bets of the day here on Send It In. Going streaking, we're going to take Ian Happ to get a base hit against Nick Lodolo. Happ, 7-for-20 in his career against Lodolo with a .350 batting average. Prop lock is going to be Cody Bellinger going up against Patrick Corbin. You would think lefty-lefty matchup, not great, but Bellinger is 10-for-25 in his career against Corbin. Over 1.5 total bases today at +110, so we'll take Cody. Astros going to be my dog of the day. I just hyped up the Marlins. I didn't have the Astros in my top 10, so you know Houston's going to win today. Marlins spec a little bit of a letdown after sweeping the Yankees. And then my best bet, Clemson to win the ACC at -110, because if Clemson makes the ACC title game, they're going to be favored versus whoever they play, and I think that they will. So that is my best bet of the day. Thanks again to Larry Williams for joining us. Tomorrow we'll look at NC State and the Tennessee Titans. See you guys then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.